Well, Israel has launched several air attacks on the Gaza Strip. For more on that story, we're being joined by our correspondent Yusuf Al-Helu from Gaza. Yusuf, what's going on?
Hi, Kaniz. About an hour ago, Israeli warplanes carried out a series of airstrikes bombing different targets across the Gaza Strip. According to medical sources, four people have been injured so far when one of the underground tunnels in Rafah, south of Gaza, was hit by a missile. Witnesses in the area said that three tunnel walkers are missing inside one of the targeted tunnels, and a huge fire broke out. Also, the warplanes targeted agriculture land close to residential areas eastern Khan Yunis. And also, a while ago, unmanned air drone fired a missile on a group of resistance eastern Gaza City. And now the warplanes are still flying very low above Gaza, and this could mean that more airstrikes will actually happen in the coming hours. Now, these airstrikes came hours after Israeli officials threatened to retaliate against what they called operation against Israeli settlers in Hebron. So these developments are very dangerous developments, and it seems that Israel will escalate its attacks against Gaza.
Right, that was Press TV's correspondent Yusuf Al-Helu reporting from Gaza. Again, for those of you joining us, Israel has launched several airstrikes on the Gaza Strip. We will be updating you on the situation as it unfolds.
Indeed. Now, moving on, now, a UN team investigating Israel's deadly attack on a Gaza-bound aid flotilla back in May has completed its hearings in Jordan. The organizers of the flotilla say the team wrapped up its inquiry, having quizzed 30 witnesses. The three-member UN team heard the testimony of 25 Jordanians who were on board the Turkish-flagged Mavi Marmara aid ship. The team also interviewed three Israeli Palestinians, including a member of the Knesset, as well as two Lebanese nationals. The Knesset member has testified that Israeli commandos appeared to have had a license to kill. Nine Turkish activists were killed in Israel's attack on the Mavi Marmara aid ship in international waters on May the 31st.
Millions of people from different religions and walks of life have attended the Quds Day rallies this year to show support for Palestinians and their rights.
Annual protests held on the last Friday of the fasting month of Ramadan were initially aimed at keeping a united front in the world of Islam against Israel's refusal to heed dozens of UN resolutions to end its occupation of Palestine. But as years rush by and Israel reveals its real intentions, more and more people worldwide have marked the annual event. This year's Quds Day rallies coincided with the relaunch of the US-sponsored talks between the Palestinian Authority and Israel in Washington. The talks come as other Palestinian factions have rejected even the notion of direct talks or any compromise with Israel. Many believe the talks are bound to fail as Israel has never abided by its previous commitments. A viable and self-sustaining Palestine was promised under the 2002 roadmap, but many years on, Tel Aviv continues to build illegal settlements on occupied Palestinian lands in the West Bank and Jerusalem al-Quds. Further, it has never agreed to recognize Jerusalem al-Quds as the capital of a viable Palestinian state, and the issue of Palestinian refugees remains unresolved.
It means change in the demographic composition of the territories and in the geographical character of the territories that are the subject of negotiations. So if you continue to change, then the duration of the negotiations will be the duration at the same time, the duration for changing the occupied territories and making the result of negotiations impossible.
Moreover, the number of people alarmed by the Israeli threat to regional security is growing. About a week ago, the spiritual leader of Israel's ultra-Orthodox Shas party publicly wished death to all Palestinians. Such behavior raises fresh security concerns in the Middle East, especially as Israel remains the only possessor of a nuclear weapons arsenal in the region while refusing to join the NPT.
Several hundred people gathered in the heart of the Austrian capital Vienna to mark the International Day of Quds, when people from around the world show their support for the Palestinians and their opposition to the Israeli occupation of their land. In Vienna, people of all ages took part in the peaceful march, thus joining international calls for a halt to what they called Israeli unjust policies towards Palestinians.
We've been marking the Quds Day for 30 years now, demonstrating in support of Palestine and Gaza, and as you can see, the public awareness, especially in the last months, has increased significantly.
Quds Day was designated by the later founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini, and is held on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan. The organizers of the annual rally also said the international community should seize the momentum after the Israeli attack against the Gaza Freedom Flotilla in May and pressure Tel Aviv even more to respect international law and human rights.
But what is most important, Palestinian refugees must be granted the possibility to go back to their land. This is their right and their land. The humanitarian aid must finally reach Gaza.
With slogans saying no to the Israeli terrorism, the participants in the protest march, Muslims and Christians alike, also called for a full boycott of Israeli goods.
What we stress now in this moment is boycott. We call upon our people to boycott Israel because this is a powerful weapon.
The rally was also attended by participants in previous Gaza-bound aid convoys who spoke of the many excuses Israel comes up with not to let international aid reach Gaza. The organizers of the march and peace activists, however, said public awareness of the Israeli aggression in Palestine has ballooned after the Israeli attack on the 8th flotilla and the killing of 9 peace activists in international waters.
As every year, the hundreds who gathered here to mark the International Day of Quds called for an end of the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories. Those taking part in the rally slammed what they called the passiveness of the international community at a time it should be defending the rights of the Palestinians. Eva Manasieva, Press TV, Vienna.
In a peaceful march, more than 1,000 Jews, Christians and Muslims rallied side by side in the German capital to mark the Quds Day. The protesters called for an end to violence and terrorism and demanded Israel to stop its illegal occupation of Palestinian territories.
It is very important, I think, that born Germans are taking part in this to show solidarity with the Palestine liberation movement, so to say, which is part of what Al-Quds wants. It is also very clear that unless we show power in the street, nothing will change.
With around 5 million Muslims, Germany has the second largest Muslim community in the European Union. Their integration into German society is currently fiercely debated, as are concerns of a growing Islamophobia in Germany. Since 1996, the German Quds Day demonstrations take place in Berlin. Ever since, the peaceful protests have been met with counter-demonstrators. About 500 people waved Israeli and US flags, accusing the Quds Day participants to be Islamists and anti-Semites.
We have 3 cities in the whole world which is dominated from Zionism. First is New York, Tel Aviv and Berlin. So it is not easy, but at least it's a free city and our law gives us the right to speak against Zionism.
The German demonstrators also condemned the peace talks held in Washington, saying Israel only cares about its security and not about the aspirations of the Palestinian people. This year's demonstration saw nearly twice as many participants as in 2009.
It was the largest Quds Day demonstration in recent years, with people showing their solidarity with the Palestinians and their strong opposition to Zionism. The protests were largely peaceful. Stefan Herrmann for Press TV in Berlin.
The deputy commander of the U.S. Armed Forces in Afghanistan says progress in the war is slower than originally expected.
Remarks by British Lieutenant General Nick Parker come as U.S. Commander of the International Forces, General David Petraeus, has repeatedly said that progress is being made. General Parker believes foreign forces were, quote, over-enthusiastic before Operation Mushtarak began in Helmand province against the Taliban. U.S.-led troops and Afghan forces overran the area and announced plans to check Taliban's momentum. However, they faced stiff resistance, particularly around the Taliban stronghold of Marja. But the operation ended without a clear victory. It has also fueled doubts among the public that the Afghan war can be won.
Afghan President Hamid Karzai has set up a committee to pursue talks with the Taliban militants. A statement from Karzai's office has called the move a significant step toward peace. Members of the committee would be announced after the Muslim fasting month of Ramadan. It is expected to be made up of 50 people, including members of civil society and figures from the opposition and the government. The idea for a peace council was discussed at a traditional gathering or jirga in June. The tribal elders endorsed the plan to engage the Taliban in a reconciliation process, but previous such attempts have failed, as the Taliban militants insist all foreign troops must leave the country first.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Israeli military launches several air attacks on the Gaza Strip. Several casualties are feared. Senior commander of the U.S.-led NATO forces in Afghanistan says progress in the war is slower than originally expected. Thousands protest the French government's crackdown on the Roma minorities.
Still to come in the next half of the bulletin right here on Press TV, we'll tell you how Afghans continue to withdraw money from the nation's largest bank.
Tens of thousands are staging rallies across France to protest a government immigration policy, which has led to a crackdown on the Roma minority.
A good opportunity for the opposition to voice its anger against French President Nicolas Sarkozy's policies. Tens of thousands took to the streets of Paris and several other cities to protest government's deportation of the Roma people. The demonstration was organized by the League of Human Rights. The organization says the move adds up to xenophobia and systematic abuse of Roma in France.
Mr. Sarkozy is there to stand for the Constitution, not to trample it. That's why we are here.
Similar demonstrations were held outside the French embassies in other European countries. The government of President Sarkozy links illegal Roma camps with rising crime rates in the country. As a result, over 8,000 Romas have been deported since the beginning of this year. The mass expulsions have drawn criticism from the Vatican, the UN, and from within President Sarkozy's own cabinet. With the issue bringing back echoes of an earlier unpleasant era in the European history and the public distrust of the political establishment on the rise, President Sarkozy's remaining time in office looks like a very shaky prospect.
U.S. drone attack has killed 8 people in Pakistan's North Waziristan. The attack happened in North Waziristan tribal region near the Afghan border. Pakistani security officials say the missiles targeted a compound used by militants. U.S. drone attacks have killed some 1,000 Pakistanis over the past 2 years. Pakistani officials say most of the victims have been civilians, despite Washington's claims that the air raids target militants. Pakistan has repeatedly condemned the attacks as a violation of its sovereignty. The new U.S. attacks come as Pakistan struggles with the worst floods in its history.